Our first scripture lesson for today comes from chapter 9, Isaiah, verses 1 through 4 of the New Revised Standard Version. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. May God bless our reading and hearing of the scripture. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture text this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of God for the people of God. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out on them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus, kneeling and saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. God bless our reading and the hearing of the scripture. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, I always like to start off with a joke. That way you can go home knowing that you at least got something worth taking, okay? My wife is a family physician, so I'm okay to tell this joke, just in case any of you were wondering. But it seems that there was an older gentleman who had gone to visit the doctor one day. He had a few things that were going on. His hearing wasn't as good as it used to be. His sight was a little off, you know, some of those things, just a checkup, and went in and saw his doctor. Everything seemed to go fine. The doctor felt like he had heard and understood everything he was saying and left. A couple days later, the doctor was out walking in the park when he saw this gentleman that he had that appointment with, but he noticed this very good-looking young woman on his arm as they were walking through the park. Doctor thought, "Oh, you know, he's taken the news better than I thought he might," and walked over to his patient and said, "How are you doing?" And the man goes, "Doc, I'm just doing like you told me to." Doctor was now curious. And he looked at the patient and he goes, "What do you mean you are doing what I told you to?" He goes, "Well, Doc, you told me to get a hot mama and be cheerful." Doctor went, "No. I said, you have a heart murmur, be careful." You know, our gospel lesson today got me thinking about the evolution of my ability to fish. When I was about 6 years old, My family went up to visit other family in Spokane, Washington, and they had a little place out on a lake, and they liked to fish, and one particular day they had one of these little boats, one of those little pontoon boats, and we were going to get in it, we were going to put out a little ways, and we were going to go fishing. Now I have a confession for you, and I am told confession is good for the soul. When I was that age, I was deathly afraid of water. I didn't even know how to swim yet. All right, so standing on shore and fishing was okay to me. Getting in this boat took my fear levels to a whole new place. Even though my father put on the life vest and he said he was getting in the boat with me and we were going to be okay. We weren't going to go out very far. He said, we're going to be fine, Matt. He did his best to assure me. And we got in and I sat down in my spot and I'm white knuckled on both ends. It's going to be a neat trick holding onto a fishing pole. You know what I'm saying? Well, as I mentioned in the children's sermon, I have a younger brother. Now, my little brother, he was like a fish. He loved the water. He loved to swim, loved everything about it, and he knew that I couldn't. Now, for those of you who have siblings, you know what happens when one knows what the other one doesn't like, right? They antagonize each other. So I'm sitting there holding on for dear life, convinced that I'm never going to see another day in my life. And my brother, who is just perfectly happy, starts doing this and bouncing back and forth in this boat. He doesn't weigh 30 pounds at that point. You know, it's not like he's tipping this boat, but I didn't care. My father even tried to get my brother to stop trying to antagonize me. And to be honest with you, I don't know anymore. My memory doesn't remember anymore about that fishing trip. I'm pretty sure my father just put me back on shore because I was probably making his life and everybody else's life miserable. But my fishing has evolved since then. I have come to learn how to swim. And, you know, I started to fish with that fishing pole and going out into the middle of the lake and working that lure and that bobber and gone fishing. And I tell you what, I was the king of catching sticks, tire, a branch of a tree that was actually on shore at the time. You know, I caught a lot of stuff, none of it that you really could take and feed anybody with. I did catch one or two, but you know, like any good person who goes fishing, what is one of the things you always come back with when you've gone fishing? A story. And my one that always got away was about as wide as my shoulders, no matter how old I was. You know, I'd have been doing so much better if I could have just gotten that one that got away. Now, we all know what a fishing person is telling you when this one got away, right? It never existed. But I had the story. I've gotten to the place now, though, where when I go fishing, I have decided. I will take a bobber. I will hook up a hook. I have my fishing pole and I will cast, but there is one very important thing missing in my fishing experience. I have no bait. Now, why, you may ask, do I have no bait? Because really, I don't want to catch anything. I like to go and I like to sit and I like to just enjoy being in God's presence. Now, if I put bait on that hook, there's a chance that I got to work with a fish. Anybody ever catch a fish that swallowed the hook? There you go. I got a lot of laughter, too. That's a Methodist amen, in case y'all were wondering. But, you know, it always takes work when you catch a fish. When I go fishing nowadays, I'm just looking forward to being out in God's country and just enjoying the experience. I'll drive by the grocery store and pick up a fillet of something if my wife really wants to have fish for supper. So, you know, I do enjoy fishing. I just like fishing on my terms, which most all of us enjoy doing. Now, we can enjoy it as a hobby, but as Luke points out to us in the gospel. There were a certain group of men, we are reminded, that fish for a profession. And Jesus is out by that lake, and his ministry has already begun. People are already gathering around, coming to hear him, wanting to learn more about God in their life. And Jesus walks up to Simon Peter, as we will become to know him later, and says, "Can I borrow your boat? Just put me out a little ways, just to create a little bit of space so I can do some preaching and some teaching." And sure enough, Simon says, "Sure," because they're already done fishing. For them, fishing was at night. So morning and daytime was time to clean the nets, mend the nets, get some sleep, take the fish to market, make the money to get ready for the next night's worth of work. And Jesus preaches. And Jesus does as any good teacher will do when he is done speaking to the crowd. He looks at Simon and he says, "You know what? Let's go catch some fish." Now, it's important to understand, I think, for all of us, the difference between going fishing and catching fish. What I now do when I go is I go fishing. What Jesus is inviting Peter to do is to catch fish. There is a difference there. Both sitting in the same place, both after two different things. And so Jesus invites them. Now, the thing about Peter is obviously it had not been a good night of fishing. They hadn't caught anything, Peter says. And I got a hunch he was tired. He was grumpy. He was two or three other of the seven dwarfs, I'm sure, as well. But he was ready to be done for the day. It just hadn't worked out well. And yet something told him that if he did what Jesus invited him to do, that they wouldn't be just going fishing. They would be catching fish. And so while he grumps about it, he gets in the boat and they set out. Now we need to think about this for just another moment. Jesus, we are told in the scriptures, was a carpenter. That was his profession. That's what his father did. That's what his father taught him. That's what he knew. Nowhere in there does it say he interned at the local fishery. All right? And yet, he can look at men who have made this their profession, who have done this day in and day out for generations, and says to them, "Let's go into the deep water and go fish." And they do. They had no reason to believe Jesus knew what he was talking about, and yet they had faith, they had trust, and they had hope. And so out they go. And they toss their net and they start to pull it in. And the scripture reminds us that it was so full, the nets began to break. And they were far enough out that they couldn't yell to shore. They had to use whatever hand signs, probably something like this, you know, waving their hands back and forth, trying to get everybody's attention to come help them get the rest of the fish. As the scripture says, so many that they began to sink both of the boats. And when they get to shore, Jesus looks at Peter and says, in essence, "You see the great things we did fishing and catching fish? We're now going to do fishing and catching people to come to know who I am and who God is." Now, it's important to understand. Peter is just like you and I. I mean, that's why probably of all the disciples, Peter is one of my most favorite. Because he keeps it real. You don't have to wonder about Peter. Peter doesn't do fake news or political correctness. He's going to tell you what he's thinking, when he's thinking it, without really thinking about what he's thinking to say to you. And he looks at Jesus. And he says, "You don't want me. I'm a sinful man. You don't want me to come with. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the abilities to come and catch people." And the great thing about Jesus, the great thing about Jesus and how he related to Peter is how Jesus relates to each one of us as well. He says, "You can come up with every excuse you want. We've got work to do. I'm calling you to do something. We are going to work together. Let's go. I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm not going to think about what you said. You know what? As a matter of fact, that's part of why I've picked you for this task. It's because you are real. Because you have those gifts. And so we are each called to go out to catch people. We are called to go out and to cast our nets. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just choose not to cast our nets. We'll pray for whatever that siren is for. How many of you remember when the Methodists first came out with open hearts, open minds, open doors? Remember when we came out with that big advertising push? We had commercials on TV, all of those things, remember? There was one particular commercial that sticks out in my mind to this day. And the reason it sticks out to my mind is because of how hard the church tried to block it from being shared. It seemed that a person was going in with a hidden camera. And they walked in the front of the church, walked in the front door. And the ushers were standing at their posts, dutifully talking to one another. And the person comes in, and the ushers don't break their conversation. The person actually has to get about as close as I am to the pulpit to get a bulletin. Gets a bulletin by just getting it handed to him. Not invited to be brought in, not cared for, you know, none of that. Finds their spot. The video then shifts to after worship and the coffee line. We all know what the coffee line is. You know, you get your cookie and you get your cup of coffee. And that person has actually positioned themselves right next to the coffee pot. I mean, nobody's going to miss this guy. The pastor. And the reason I know it's the pastor is because the pastor has that robe on, you know. He still has his robe on. And he comes walking up, sees the man standing right there, fills his coffee cup. Finishes, we all know that's the Methodist symbol for getting coffee, right? We all know to turn that little toggle switch down to get our coffee. Finishes filling his coffee cup, looks at the man again, and walks away. Casting of the net did not happen in that moment. Those are the reasons why that church tried to keep that video from being known. And while that, I'm sure that they have worked 17 times harder at being more hospitable, it's a point that reminds us that, you know what? Every week, every day, every minute, we are called to be ready to cast that net. We have to be willing to toss it into the water. And it doesn't just happen whenever we are thinking it's convenient. We have to be willing to toss that net at a moment's notice. Whether we're doing it in the midst of hospitality before we come into worship, whether it's in worship, whether it's in mission, whether it's in giving, whatever it might be, we are called to cast our nets in the moment. There is a pastor in Detroit who, when he was a little boy, about 7 years old, his mother and he were walking one day, and she told him to wait on a corner in the middle of the city and said, "Wait here, I'm going to go get the car, I'll be right back." 3 days later, she still hadn't been right back. But one particular gentleman who had drove that street to work and from work every day noticed that boy on the first day, noticed that boy on the second day, noticed that boy on the third day on the way home. He stopped to engage that little boy, to ask him why he's standing here all the time. See, as far as that gentleman's concerned, that little boy is only there for a little bit on those points of time of day until the little boy points out that he's been standing there for 3 whole days. That he's cold, that he's hungry, that he's tired. That man gets that little boy cared for as the story continues to progress. That gentleman and his wife are able to adopt that little boy and take him to church. And it's in the midst of that that God begins to speak to that little boy's heart. And as he's graduating college, he hears God call him into the ministry. The church that he has been attending his formative years has an internship open. And this young man, who was once a little boy, hears God telling him he needs to start helping bringing other little children to church. Gets the internship, goes and begins to chat with the pastor. Begins to talk with him about his vision of the ministry that he is called to, of bringing children to church, and that he's going to need a 15-passenger van to bring the kids in. Pastor says, sure, we got one of those. You can use it. Doesn't take long for word to get around. I mean, this is downtown Detroit. But that young man has a full 15-passenger van. Doesn't take much longer before he comes to the pastor and says, I need two vans. Is that possible? Can we do two vans? Pastor says, we can get two vans. Within 6 months, they're up to six vans. To this day, this gentleman now runs his own church and has the largest Sunday school population in downtown Detroit and has multiple buses that go out and pick up the children and bring them to church. Because he understands the importance of casting the net, of helping others understand who God and Christ are. We have to be willing to do that. We have to not only be willing to cast a net to bring them in, but sometimes casting the net means leaving the building. Sometimes we have to be willing to go where others are because they aren't going to come through our doors. I can say that with a certain amount of confidence because I've been a pastor for 25 years. I know that there are times where we have to leave the building to meet folks, to engage folks. There's a church that works in Omaha that has come to understand this. And they go into North Omaha. Most all of us know the reputation North Omaha has. It is not the friendliest place, but they have worked with a neighborhood group to begin to engage them in ministry. Not only do they offer vacation Bible school and the trunk or treats and those types of things, but they help rake up leaves in the neighborhoods. They throw birthday parties. They find ways to engage with one another in a way that lets them know about God's love where they are, without an expectation of coming in here. I want us to invite ourselves to ponder the opportunity of how we cast our nets. I need us to remember that Jesus looked at Peter and Peter said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I'm not worthy, I'm not able. And Jesus looked at him and said, you know what? You are a sinner, you are able, you are loved, and you are forgiven. Now let's go do ministry together. Jesus says that to each and every single one of us. Jesus begins by reminding us that we're loved, that we're saved, that there is joy to be had in our lives. And with those things in place, we are to move out into the world to cast our nets so that all can come to know that love, the joy, the peace, and the salvation that's found in that relationship with God. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, bless you. As we gather here this morning, we thank you for the message. That message that is found in the words that are spoken, the music that is sang, the scripture that is read, the community that is built. Help us to continue to understand what it means to fish for people. That when you bring people into our path, we don't need to worry about what to say or how to say it, but simply to engage them in love because you've already shown us how that works. I thank you, gracious God, for this community. I thank you for Pastor Neil and for Pastor Bridget and their willingness to allow me to come in and be a part. Gracious God, help us. Bless us. Continue to allow us to listen to one another, to hear each other, to laugh with each other, to cry with each other, to be that shoulder, to lean on that hand, to be given. We continue to build your kingdom here on earth and the day that we're all together in heaven. Amen.